Much like they always do, our worship committee finds the perfect song to encapsulate the sermon series. I am so excited to see what they cook up for next sermon series, Earth, Wind, and Fire, where we're looking at the first eight. Yeah, that's... Good luck. But no, we start that after Labor Day. It'll be the first eight chapters of the book of Acts, looking at the start of the church. But for this sermon series, where we're looking at our time, our talents, and our treasures, and how we store up, we're going to be in that for the month of August. So I'm going to start super light, right? Super, super nice and comfortable. You all know I'm setting this up to be the exact opposite, but I'm going to start with the sermon series wrecker right now for all of us, not just a week, but for a month. What would someone learn about your heart? Just let that hang there for a minute. What would someone learn about your heart? You're not allowed to look to the right or to the left after I answer or ask this question, okay? But what would someone learn about your heart if they looked at your bank statement or your Amazon order history? Just put that out there. My office is booked for the next 2 weeks, so if you have issues now in your marriage, deal with it, okay? Go see a counselor. But I think as we're going to see what Jesus is going to bring us in this section of Matthew, he basically is saying, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. He's not mixing his words. This is not an allegory. This is a teaching in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is inviting us to examine not just our behavior about money and spending and where our treasures are or our talents or our tithes of what we talk about in church, but the orientation of the heart. A sermon, though it can be preached on behavior, I can preach on behavior every Sunday, and in some ways I do, but to get to the heart of any issue we have in life, again, there's a heart of it. It comes out of the heart. Things we say, right? Proverbs tells us, out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so there's this understanding that the heart being the center of a person. Jesus is going to go over the next 4 or 5 weeks. It's about what we worship, what we trust, what we pursue. If people just see that about our lives, it's going to tell people where our heart is. This hits home for all of us, whether you consider yourself wealthy or not, but anyone who struggles with anxiety, depression, materialism, misaligned priorities, Jesus is throwing it all there. And the greatest sermon ever given by the greatest preacher to ever preach, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we're going to walk through this text slowly. We're going to dive in a little bit to the languages because the language helps us understand in more of a visual way. Both Hebrew and Greek are just so beautifully visual to help us understand some of these words. And to be fair, a lot of our English words just don't do it justice, what Jesus and others like Paul are trying to say in the New Testament and then those that wrote in the Old. But we're going to talk today about the human heart, the kingdom of God, and true stewardship. So we got to kind of find the dichotomy, right? The blank versus blank, and that is the earthly versus the heavenly treasures. And we're going to be in chapter 6 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, verses 19 to 21 to start. Again, we use the ESV, but whatever Bible you brought or you have on your app, feel free to pull it up. Obviously, if it's not the ESV, it may read a little different, but Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we start off in the Greek. Jesus uses the verb, right? Thesario. Le thesario, which we get the word thesaurus from, meaning to amass, to store up, and to treasure. So he's going right off the bat. This is not just about gathering, but it's about gathering in devotion and direction. It's storing up. It's you looking at the season of life to come and go, I think I need to prep and pack for this. Okay? How many of you have regular or semi-regular, like family reunions, or kind of that one vacation you go to every year or every other year? I know you all do it. I don't know why you're not raising your hand. Okay, what are some places you go every year? Like if maybe you have a lake house. Go ahead. You go to Tennessee every year, okay? So you've probably been going before you were born, right? Where was your family? You wouldn't know. You weren't there. Lisa, how long have you been going to Tennessee? About 5 years, okay. So the first time you went, how much did you end up packing? You don't even want to answer. Yeah. Mike, I'll ask you, how much did Lisa pack? All of it. All right, all of it. That's a very good way to. But then have you noticed that year after year, the packing becomes kind of less and less? Let's try over on this side of the church. Okay, that was a backfire. I'm going to use us, right, because that's easy, and I think I get it, right? Osterhaus reunion. We've done it now 6 times, 18 years. Every 3 years we go. The first time we went, we followed the scut rule and packed everything, right? This last time we went a couple weeks ago, like, we forgot stuff. Like, we just took it from other family members because we learned over time, well, so-and-so's always going to bring it, so I don't need to. That's fine. It's very Dutch of us. And just understand that, you know, we're just going to do that. What Jesus is getting at right off the bat is when we look at things that are going on in our life, much like squirrels get nuts for the winter, we tend to do that. We look at what we think our needs are going to be, and we do what we think we're going to need, then double it, then double it. And so what he's saying and what the Greek is bringing us into is there is a devotion, there is a direction to the treasures that we are storing up. And if I'm being honest, we store up way more than what we need. And that's what Jesus is trying to get at. In the ancient world, treasures weren't locked in banks, right? They didn't have banks. They didn't have giant vaults where you need a retina scan or a thumbprint or a voice thing in it that I just made up. You know, they didn't have any of that. Where were treasures hidden? For lunch and a conversation with Pastor Jim, where did people hide their treasures back in kind of biblical times? The ground is one of them, okay? That's buried. That's not kind of special to the ancient world, so we're in the parking lot, but no lunch yet. What? Caves? Sure, okay. Now we've walked in. Huh? Jars of clay? We're getting closer. Okay, we're sitting down. You have the menu, Larry. Bring it home. Under the mattress. They didn't have mattresses. So now we're back in the car. We drove separately. In the coffins of dead relatives. You're back at home. I'm back at home. We never talked. Okay, and so understand, they would hide them in the walls of their house. That treasures, they were hidden in the walls. They were buried in the ground. They were tied up in fabrics, but hidden in the walls. When I got that this week, when the Holy Spirit brought that to me, reading some of the commentaries, that spoke. That really wrecked me. That the thing I treasure the most, I hide for fear of moth or rust or thieves. I hide the things that are most treasure to me. And they hid them to protect them. When Jesus says, do not lay up treasures on earth, he's not just warning about wealth or the wealth decay, if you will. He's confronting a spiritual illusion that we claim over our wealth or over our treasures or over our stuff. The belief that earthly things can have eternal security. Though we know it, we say, oh, you can't take it with you. Yet we like to hoard it. We like to store up. The Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 95, defines an idol for us when it says, anything in which one places their trust instead of or alongside the only true God. Leave that up there. The trust. So when Jesus says, do not store up treasures, do not put your trust in the treasures of this world. I mean, that starts to separate some of these treasures, right? I mean, trust the money. Sure, we can do that. A lot of us do, right? We trust our day is going to go well because we start our day looking at the bank account. The ledger seems good, right? And we're set. So you've just set your day to look at it financially. Or maybe social media, right? We start our, we trust what social media says the fool, right? But we trust what social media says about the day, and that's how we're going to look at it. What Jesus is demanding of us is do not put your trust in these things. What you treasure, what you store up, you trust, you hold to. If wealth is your security, Jesus is going to tell you it has become your idol. That's why he says put your treasures in heaven. These aren't some abstract spiritual coins that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is calling us to invest in the eternal, in people, in worship, in missions, in acts of mercy. He's saying, Munster Church, every dollar, every minute, every act of generosity to offer in the name of Christ and is an investment in the kingdom. Because if it's not, then our confession tells us, if you trust it, or I love how the writer puts it, or alongside of the only true God. God needs to be the top. Everything else should be underneath it. And that's why he talks about the heart. Because what we trust in, what we focus on, the thing we give focus to throughout our lives tends to be the things that we are either insecure about, fearful of, or trust in the most, or D, all of the above. For he says, where your treasure is, in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus doesn't say, where your heart is, there your treasure will follow. He reverses the logic. Why? Why does he reverse this? He's just a linguistic master, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. His teaching just breaks barriers. He turns it on itself because he understands that treasure pulls the heart along. Let me say that again. That treasure pulls the heart along. The heart follows investment. I had to stop there. I was crying like that kid because I struggle with that. The heart follows what it invests in. Where am I investing my time, my talents, and my treasures? Because that shows that where my heart is invested, my heart should be invested first and foremost in Christ. Second should be this group right here, right? Third should be the rest of you. Yet there are times that goes cattywampus because there's other things that come in. You know, trying to be the best, I don't know, the best Munster managers ever seen, that the town of Munster's ever seen. I'm not, so that's really a fool's errand. But understand that where we invest is where your heart goes. I don't do a lot of investing, but I'm sure there's not a lot of people that go, sure, I'll just go invest over there. It seems good. No, when you invest in stuff, you want to be focused on it. You want to have studied it. You want to understand kind of what you think you can understand about the stock or whatever options you have at work. What we focus on, what we invest. Why? Because treasure pulls the heart. We understand in our theology that our heart is not just an emotion, but as the core of our being, our will, our desire, our mind, our affections, Proverbs tells us. If your treasure is in retirement, your status, your lifestyle, then your heart will always serve those masters first. But if your treasures are in God's kingdom, your heart will beat for Christ. You might be known as a wise investor. You might go, oh, so-and-so did real well with their money. That's not on happenstance. That's not because you put it in a mayonnaise jar and buried it. It's because you took time and effort. You probably trusted someone maybe with your money to make more money and all of those things. Jesus is saying, that should be your heart to me first. One of the great Protestant reformers, John Calvin, writes this. And again, John doesn't really mix his words. A human heart is a perpetual factory of idols. This was the truth then. How much more of it is the truth now when we have the whole world at our fingertips? We have to understand this about ourselves, that your heart is a perpetual factory of idols. What does that mean? the things you lean into, the things you focused on, the things you invest in, those can become idols like that. John Calvin knew it back then. He knew what you fund, you feed. What you treasure, you trust. Let me say that again. What you fund, you feed. What you treasure, you trust. So he goes from two of the kind of main parts of the body, the heart and the eyes. He says the eyes. He talks about the eye in many different ways in the Sermon on the Mount. But in verse 22 and 23, Jesus writes this, the eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? To me, the section feels a little strange. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The word healthy, hapalos, here is, it's a loaded word. It doesn't mean clear. It means single-minded, generous, and undivided. The opposite of it is proneros, which is just bad. It means evil, stingy, or greedy. So put that up there on here. If the whole body, right? If the whole body were good or were clear, it means if your body is single-minded, generous, undividing, or you're evil, stingy, or greedy. In Jewish thought, to have a bad eye, rayen rahaya, meant you were stingy. A good eye, rayen tova, meant you were generous. Jesus is saying, the way you see the world through the eyes of generosity or greed affects the whole spiritual life. Let me say that again. Through eyes of generosity or greed, that affects your whole spiritual life. The way you see the world, do you see the world as generous or do you see the world as greedy? As we start this conversation for the next month, that's the start. How do you see the world? Because if you see the world that way, my guess is you see yourself that way. If you look at people as burdens rather than souls, if you see money as yours rather than God's, your whole life will be dark. This is why we serve them. If the way we see the world is the way that we serve one way or the other. We either serve others or we serve ourselves. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Remember, what does he say? Is money the root of all evils? No, what is? The investment, the focus, the attention on money is the root of all evil. You cannot serve God and money. So he's cutting it right down the middle. Jesus ends with a choice. You cannot serve God or mammon. You're going, that doesn't say mammon, it says money. The word mammon is not just money. It's wealth personified. It became kind of an idol, a rival God. And Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't serve both. He says you can't. Done. You can't do it. Well, I think I... No, you can't. Well, what if I pray? Nope, you can't. He cuts it. The reformers were clear. True faith produces a what? Life of obedience. You're not saved by stewardship, but stewardship reveals what you believe. Oof. How you steward your gifts, your time, your talents, your wealth tells people what you believe. Sit with that for about 5 seconds. True faith produces a life of obedience. What Jesus is saying right off the bat, you're not saved by stewardship, but stewardship does reveal what you believe. So when I thought about that, okay, how do I land the plane today, knowing that we're going to just pick it up next week and do this for the next couple weeks? At the end of the day, I'm going to call out our comfort. Because really, if we're being honest, we all want to live a comfortable life. And that could mean variety of things for you. Your comfort could be, you could take it this way to lifestyle and actual comfort, like you just want everything to be a nice sweatshirt. Or you could be comfort as, I don't want to worry about things. So I'm going to do the things so I don't have to worry about the things or whatever, or somewhere in between. Your comfort shouldn't be about things. The comfort should be about the gospel. The comfort should be about what you believe, because that comfort helps in times of need. When I sat with the Den Hartogs this week, man, we talked about money and finances for 2 hours. Absolutely not. They talked about the love they had from a husband, from a father. When I ask them to reflect, whenever I sit with people who lost someone, I ask three questions. I said, what was something that the person did that make you laugh or think? How did they show you that they loved you? And what about them pointed to Jesus? It usually brings about a good conversation. At no point was money brought up on Thursday. Because in the end, when we're talking about life and death, your comfort can't be in money. Yeah, it might be legacy. You might have done investing well and retirement well or life insurance well, and the next generation might feel a little lighter financially, and that's fantastic. Legacy money, great. That's why we call it a legacy account here, because the money that is in our legacy account, whether it goes to a building or not, is not necessarily just for us in 2025. It's for the 61 kids we have under the age of 6. That this could be their church for the next 60 years. That's what legacy money is. You might have that with your finances and your family. Fantastic. Great. But you know what? When I sit with families who lost a loved one, especially one suddenly, it's never a fight for how much did they leave me. It's more, wow, I'm really going to miss this about them. I'm really going to miss they taught me what hard work was, or I'm really going to miss, you know, one of the things from Marty, I'm really going to miss that they always invited everyone to the cottage in Michigan because he wanted that vacation to be everyone's vacation. Sure, we could talk about the money of that and all of that. The friends, when it comes to the end, if that's what you're defined by, that's what people are going to talk about. I don't know about you, but when people are when their pastor, whoever it is going to ask them those three questions, what was something they did to make you laugh? I'm sure for some of us it's going to be easy. Some of the things that made you think, those could be some pretty profound things. It could just be look both ways before you cross the street. It could be as simple as that. It could be as profound as my pa using every aspect of the game of golf to teach me about dating. Just gonna leave that there. Most of it was appropriate. But understand, when that third question comes, what did that person show you about Jesus? Man, I hope your families have a lot to say. I really hope they go, wow, it was this or this, this. They brought me to church even when I didn't wanna go. Right? Or they made me go to Sunday school or Lighthouse, or you know, they put me in cadets even though I was nervous about it, or whatever it was. Or you know, my dad, instead of working overtime, my dad actually signed up to be a cadet leader so we could do cadets together. I know we need one more, and that's not why I said that. Because the investment in your son in cadets or your daughter in GEMS or being on the worship team or whatever it is, that investment is far greater to the kingdom of God than working those extra shifts or making sure you got that bonus. And I'm not saying working extra shifts and bonus are bad or evil, but if that's what you're defined by, if that's all you're gonna give your family to talk about when you're gone, let me just say as a pastor, that's a really disappointing conversation with your family. I don't mean to come heavy-handed on that, but friends, when Jesus talks about it for the next couple weeks, it's not gonna get easier. There's a reason why Jesus' Sermon on the Mount almost initially talks about idols and money, because he knows us. It's the same reason why the very first commandment is you shall have no other gods. He didn't say that because he goes, idol worship, that's going to be easy for the human race. No. As Moses was going and getting the law, the Israelites, who God delivered from Egypt in fantastically awesome ways, already starting to worship something else. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I'm going to end with this. Heidelberg Catechism, I'll get it right one day. Question and answer one. Munster Church, friends of Munster Church, guests today, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to money, not to mammon, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Munster Church, as we start this discussion, where's your treasure? Do your spending habits reflect a heart tethered to Christ or a heart of self-serving? Do you give joyfully, regularly, and sacrificially, however you give, whatever you give? Are you investing in the things that moth and rust will destroy or the things that last in eternity? Friends, hear me. This is my heart. This series is not about guilting you into giving. It's about freeing your heart. Because when we store up treasures in heaven, we experience the joy of heaven now. Why? Because Christ is our greatest treasure. It's not just about what we treasure, but who. Jesus doesn't tell us to give. He gave everything. He didn't store up riches. He emptied himself. He became poor so we could become rich. He gave his life as a ransom, our treasure exchanged for his grace. The gospel is not a call to give more money. It's a call to see Christ as your treasure. So let's start this journey now, there. Not with guilt, but with gratitude. Because friends, we have a generous king. So let us be kingdom investors today.